Rav one time said that expresses the nature of the slichus. So you have slichus really besides the Erev Rosh Hashanah and between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. You have other slichus also throughout the year. When, for instance, like slichus of Asar B'Teves, of Shuvos of Tamas, Tainesim, you have slichus. But there's a difference between those slichus and the slichus we have that we say now. What's the difference between those slichus and these? Slichus are said after Shemar Esrei. As a matter of fact, originally they were said during the Shemar Esrei, during the Chazaras Hashatz. So those slichus are really a part of the tefillah. Why aren't these slichus said also? Why don't we say these slichus after Shemar Esrei, like we say the other slichus? What's the reason? Why is it different here? Around mentions that what's the halacha slichus? You get up mashkim lefnei or hayom, right? So you get up before daybreak. Why do you get up before daybreak? Why do you get up before daybreak? What does that demonstrate? The fact that you get up before daybreak to say slichus. So it demonstrates one thing. Demonstrates that you can't wait for tefillah. See, it's a state of emergency. That's why. So you can't wait for tefillah. You're mashkim lefnei or hayom. The character of these slichas are the character of urgency. See? It's different than the other. The other slichas are part of the tefillah. So originally many said they used to say it in the Shemar Esrei, but it has the content is slichas. But the Shemar Esrei is made up of tefillah, and it's made up of slichas also. It's part of the content of Shemar Esrei. You have it on Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, the right way is, if you take a look at the good machzor, you'll see, it says over here you say slichas on Chazaras Hashatz. Every Chazaras Hashatz, you should say slichas on Yom Kippur. Just like you say it on the first night of Yom Kippur, you say slichas. So slichas is part of the tefillah. It's a part of the content of tefillah. See, that's the same way the other slichas are. But these slichas over here are actually, have got to be not a part of tefillah. Because they express a certain urgency. That the person's mashkim, he can't wait for tefillah. He has to, it's a state of emergency. He gets up in his maschil before this man tefillah. So therefore, these slichas really cannot be put in the Shemar Esrei. If they were in the Shemar Esrei, then it would be contradictory to their very nature. The very nature is that they must precede the tefillah. So that's the nature of these slichas. That's why these slichas are different. Okay? All right. Now, let's take a look. What's the first thing we do in the slichas? What's the first thing we say in the slichas?
Ashrei.
First thing. Ashrei. Right. Okay, why do we start off with Ashrei? First question. What? In the beginning of Brachas. Rashi says that really the Kriya Shema, they used to daven early in those days. Because they had problems davening late, there was danger of people going home and getting hurt by the Gayim. So, therefore, they used to daven early when it was still light. So, Rashi says that really you're not Yetzer than the Kriya Shema. So why do they say Kriya Shema before Maariv, if you're not Yetzer? So the answer Rashi says, K'dei lamay b'tfila mitech divrei Torah. That the halach is, person should be mispalel immediately after his involvement in Talmud Torah. Okay, now the only question I want to ask is, see, where does Rashi get this from? Where does this come from? Really, it comes from the Mishnah in the fifth parak in Brachas. Ein emdim l'spal ela mitech kevei reish. So what does that mean? So it means that a person can't just get up and daven. But there must be a certain state of mind that must precede the tefillah. There's a certain proper frame of mind for tefillah. Kevei reish, certain seriousness. Right? Okay, then the Gemara later says that Talmud Torah is good, but depends on the type of Talmud Torah. If it's Talmud Torah, which is questionable, he has a lot of questions, he's involved in Talmud Torah, this Talmud Torah is no good, because that will distract him from tefillah. But Talmud Torah, which is a halacha psuka, which means it's a simple halacha, that's fine. Okay, that's all the Gemara says. Really, the Rambam doesn't say that you have to be Eimei B'Tfilah Mitech Deretera. He just says that a person shouldn't be Eimei B'Tfilah Mitech Shchaik, and also he says he shouldn't be Eimei B'Tfilah Mitech Deretera unless it's halacha psukah. Right? But Rashi seems to say there's something positive here. Kidei Lamei B'Tfilah Mitech Deretera, that there's a special kiyum of being Eimei B'Tfilah Mitech Deretera. It's not just that you shouldn't be Eimei B'Tfilah Mitech Shchaik or Kalas Reish. But there's a special kiyum of being aimed between Matilda and Tara. I'd like to understand, what is that? What is that kiyum, really? It'd be nice if we can understand what that kiyum is. I mean, what kind of a halacha is that? Tara is the highest activity, but what does that have to do with tefillah? I mean, what's the relationship between Tara and between tefillah? Seem to be two different things. Yeah. Is there really Chazal recognize one thing about tefillah? And you'll see, there are certain precautions that Chazal took when it came to tefillah. Because tefillah, apparently they recognized that in tefillah there could be a danger. Danger in tefillah. So that's why I have a lot of problems with how a person can misfollow. General is a big problem. How can a person misfollow to God? But aside from the philosophical question, there's a practical danger in tefillah. Chazal recognized a practical danger in tefillah. See, what is the danger in tefillah? What is the danger that exists in tefillah? See, in Yadis, what?
It becomes gross.
Danger in tefillah is in Yadis. Yadis doesn't have. Other religions have. The person just talks to their concept of God. You see? And they, on the contrary, they think that this is a very. This is the essence, really, of their religion. Yadis is not so simple. Person can't just talk to God, nor can he even ask God a bakasha just like this. Can't do it. There's a whole order that he has to get involved in before he can ask God for any bakasha. So before bakasha, you have to have the shalosh rishonos. Can't just be mevakesh. Talking to God, we don't find such a concept. We only find the nevuah. But the what's the reason? What's the reason? Because in Yadus, the most important thing in tefillah is that a person should have an accurate idea of his relationship to God, how he relates to God. And there's a danger of a person just feeling that however he feels about relating to God emotionally, his emotions, the man now that he asked God for something, that's it. This is a very primitive and a very infantile type of relationship. But Yadus demands that this relationship should be always in the framework of Chochmah. A person has to express his dibur clearly. That's why Anshe Knesset HaGdolah made the tefillahs. Every tefillah, every word is expressed clearly and organized properly according to diktuk. Everything must be perfect. That's why I say the Groh used to be, when the Groh used to daven, he used to say everything according to diktuk also, Bilel, Mura. Because the tefillah has to be an expression of a thought-out expression. It has to involve chachma. When a person stands before the Borei Olam, he has to express himself according to the highest level of chachma attainable by that individual. See? Now, it's not just an outpouring of emotion. Now, the reason why a person should be Eimei B'Tfilah Mitech Divrei Torah is because before the first premise he must have, first recognition he must have is that the only essential relationship between him and God is through Chachma. Is through Chachma Sashem. So that's the only relationship. That's the essential relationship. Talmud Tarek and Egekolam. That's the essential relationship of between man and God. So before he enters into the relationship of tefillah, he must recognize how he relates to the Borei Olam, and the essential relationship is through the chachma that God has given him in his neshama. You see, that is the most essential concept before he starts tefillah. Without that concept, tefillah could take certain dangerous courses. That's why it has to be Eimei B'Tfilah Mitech Divrei Torah. Now, you see, it mustn't be divrei Torah which is involved, because if it's involved, then it will hinder his tefillah. But it must be divrei Torah in order that he should have that recognition. He must have that recognition. The first thing he must recognize is that the relationship between him and God is through Chachmas Hashem. See? That's the halacha. The reason why, see, the psak is there to reflect the concept of Talmud Torah. That's why it's there. It's not to take the person and involve him in Talmud Torah at this point. Because if he gets involved in Talmud Torah this time, he won't be able to misspell. But it's there in order to reflect the idea of Talmud Torah. The idea of the relationship that takes place between man and God when he learns.
Doesn't matter what.
No. This concept is an introduction to a necessary introduction or an establishment of the framework that within which tefillah must take place. The person is following a place where he finished learning, where he learns. It's also to relate the relate to. Okay. That's why we start off with Ashrei. Ashrei Yeshev Ve'Secha. Okay. We'll see further that the same idea. Right, that the essence is Talmud Torah and not Tefillah. Maybe you say the essence is Tefillah. Why? What's the right that the essence, the most essential relationship between man and God is Talmud Torah? What's the raya? Can you bring me a raya? The person's Torah and Nasi doesn't have to misspell. All right. But another raya is very simply Olam Haba. In Olam Haba, there's no Tefillah, but there's Talmud Torah. Tefillah is necessity in our existence. Tefillah is a necessity because of the nature of our existence. Because of the nature of our mundane existence, that's why we have to have tefillah. But it's only because of the human condition that you require it. But it's not essential. It's not the essential ultimate relationship. We require it. You can't minimize tefillah. Tefillah is very important. But it's important because of our situation, the situation we find ourselves in. See, but human nature. But it's not the essential or ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is Talmud Torah. Yeah. To do with the corruptive part of his nature. The corruptive part of man's nature demands that he has tefillah in order to help him rise above it. You see, the essential relationship is Talmud Torah. But you can't deny the fact that man has a corruptive nature. If a person doesn't understand tefillah and doesn't appreciate tefillah, so he's lacking a very important thing, because he does have his nature is corrupt, and he'll never be able to rise above it unless he really utilizes the proper means. But that's not the ultimate goal. You understand what I mean? You see the difference? It's Kaddish. All right, where does Kaddish come in? Where does Kaddish come in? Say that the reason why you say Kaddish, for instance, you say Kaddish after Yisrach. So most people say that the reason why you say Kaddish before Baruch Hu, saying Kaddish because after Yisrach. So after the Psukim, so you say the Psukim Zimra, so you say Kaddish. What? One second. Most people think that way. The Rav learns, he holds differently. He holds that the halacha is halacha that before every Shemayin Esrei and after every Shemayin Esrei you have to have Kaddish. So the Kaddish is not on the past, but the Kaddish is going on the tefillah that's about to be said. The difference would be on Rish Chodesh. When do you take off your tefillin? If Yol the Kaddish is going on Asher, you know, Volzian, before Musaf, you see, so then you take off your tefillin after Kaddish. But if you hold that the Kaddish is going on Musaf, that every tefillin requires a Kaddish before and Kaddish afterwards, then you take off tefillin before Kaddish. So the Rav holds it goes on the every tefillin requires Kaddish before and Kaddish after. Okay, so we know that that's what that wherever you have tefillah b'tzibur, you require Kaddish before and Kaddish after. Okay. Now, so the question is, so why do you require Kaddish before, and what does Kaddish have to do with Tefillah? That's the question now we're faced with. What is, why do you have to do that? Why do you have to have Kaddish before and after? Yeah. This has a din of Tefillah. Because you see, you start off with Shemeya Tefillah Dech Kabasa Yevayu is Psukim. These Psukim are Shevach L'makom. You start off with Shevach. Just like by Tefillah, you start off with Shevach. And in general, really, it's not a problem of slichus, but it's a problem in general of what the Kaddish is. It's an interesting thing, Kaddish. All right, yes. It's related to Talmud Torah. How do you know Kaddish is related to Talmud Torah? Kaddish Jabbar. That's right. Because you say Kaddish two times, by Tefillah, and you say Kaddish after learning, the Tzibor. But the it's a machloikis, what type of learning? The Rambam seems to say any type of learning, but see, we say Kaddish. But others say it's only Divrei Agada, not Divrei Halacha. We'll see what that Machlekes is all about. But what is the basic idea of saying Kaddish B'tzibor? What's the idea? Yeah. What does Kaddish have that has to do with the that fits into this formula, first Talmud Torah and then Kaddish? I mean, what does that have to do with it? What is Kaddish, really? You have to say, what is Kaddish? Plain and simple, what is it? Yeah, what kind of praise? The highest praise. Yesh Mei Rabbeinu Baruch Hu is the highest praise. But what is it? What is specific about that? About that? What? What is the tefillah? What does it really Kaddish say? What does it say? Skadil Yiskadei Shmei Rabbeinu B'Alma Divra Kirusei V'Yamlech Malchusei B'Chayachayin V'Yamachayin V'Chayachal B'Yisrael. What does it mean? And the Eastern is Svarim say V'yatzmach Perkonei V'Karev Mashiach. It's Bakasha for what? It's Bakasha Imos Mashiach. That's what it is really. V'yamlech Malchusei B'chayim Malchusei means the establishment of Malchusei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? B'chayichon V'yameichon V'chayichon Beis Yisrael Yesh Me'erav Mavarach Hu Alamo Me'maya. So what does it mean? So it means, what is the literal translation of Kaddish? It means that there is something lacking in the way the world exists today, because Malchus Hashem is not manifest from all the from the social order that exists in this world today. So the tefillah is that the social order should be changed, and we should have a perfected social order, so that the Malchus Hashem should be able to be seen, should be demonstrated, everybody be able to observe and see the perfected order of not only the universe in terms of physics and all the laws of the universe, but in terms of the social order as well. There's one area in nature that's corrupt, and that is the social law, because man has bechira. So the tefillah is that ultimately the social order should catch up with the rest of the universe and should fall in line with it, and should also express the greatness of God. See? Which it doesn't today. That's why Kaddish. Now that's why is Kaddish so important? The Gemara says, Yesh Mei Rabbeinu Baruch Hu is so important. Why is it so important? Precisely because that bakasha and that shevach is the ultimate expression of the manifestation of God's glory in this world. See? That's what it is. Now, so why is it by Tefillah and by Talmud Torah? By these two things? So the answer is obvious. Because in Tefillah and Talmud Torah, the two ways that we relate to God. And relating to God, the moment we relate to God, one thing must hit a person. The moment he relates to God, a certain pang at the fact that the world doesn't express the perfection of God insofar as the social order is concerned. See? Not a personal pang. He has a lot of personal problems and he wants to misspell. But he has to forget his personal problems for a moment. And he has to become philosophical and relate to God, abstract from his own personal his own personal tzaras, and he has to recognize that there's something greater than his own, than the personal, an ultimate objective which is not being fulfilled with relationship to God. That's what Kaddish is. See? That's why it's in the two areas of Tefillah and Talmud Torah, because both of them are relationship to God. So man's relationship to God cannot be, a person cannot relate to God unless it bothers him that the Malchus Hashem is not complete. See? So the thing is like by a Malik, you got all case car. It's something that should disturb a person. That's really the source for sinas amalek. That's the source for sinas amalek. Sinas amalek is not a personal sinner, because you don't even have anything personal against the amaleki. As a matter of fact, he might be very nice to you. Emotionally, he might make you feel like his friend. But sinas amalek is an objective sinner, because of the realization that this nation, these people stand in the way of the ultimate expression of God's perfection. See? Now, yeah. A little bit more, why do you have the machlekes? Maybe somebody could define it. Why do you have the machlekes, whether you say Kaddish Rabbanan by any Talmud Torah or only by Talmud Torah Vagadata? What's the reason for the machlekes? Now maybe we could define the machlekes. The thing is like this, the one that holds that it's all Talmud Torah and Tefillah, he holds that whenever there's a relationship, anything which is when man relates to God, essentially, which is in two cases, Avodah Shebelev is Talmud Torah and Tefillah. That's Avodah Shebelev. So in both cases, he holds that he demands that you have to have Kaddish. Right? But what does the other mandama hold? It means he holds that the content has to actually reflect the relationship. If you say it's the Maisa, so the Maisa of Talmud Torah is always relating to God, but the content isn't. I'm learning about the halach of somebody that stole money from somebody else. Well, what if the content has nothing to do with God? The act, of course, is an intellectual act of understanding Torah. And even though I'm dealing with whether a person is a liar and a cheat and I'm working on a halach of Amiga or not, nothing to do with anything holy, but that is Talmud Torah. I'm using my intellect to understand the chachma of the halacha, right? But the subject matter itself isn't relating to God in any way. By agadata, the subject matter relates to God, and agadata is different. Agadata is philosophy. Philosophy, the subject matter relates to God. So he holds you only say Kaddish only if it's a subject matter. By tefillah, it's the subject matter, and by agadata, it's the subject matter. That's the machlekes really. Discussing something which leads you, any imperfection has to be something which leads you away from God. So anything, yeah, I mean, directly, you should be able to see why it's the wrong path, why it's subject matter. Yeah, it's always. Right. So really now, let's put Kaddish under a little bit more, let's give it a little bit more of a framework, a term. What term? What category? More of a category. What category does Kaddish really come under? What category does it come under? Actually, one of the mitzvahs of the Torah. Avas Hashem. Right. That's what it is. Avas Hashem. So, Avas Hashem demands that a person should sense a desire that the Malchus Hashem should be expressed greater, so that the whole, so that everywhere he turns, he sees the Gavas Hashem. That's why the Gemara says that the highest shevach is when the Tzibur says Yehi Shmei Rabba Mavorach L'Olam Alom Elmaya. See, what does that mean? That means that the whole world should recognize the Gavas Hashem. It should be expressed all over, everywhere he turns. You should be able to see it. But if you don't see it, you only see it in one area and you don't see it in another area, it should bother a person. And the person who has Avas Hashem, it disturbs him, and he has to immediately hope that this should be changed. And that's really that's really what Kaddish is.
But isn't it true that...
How does this fit in? It's all, even Rav Amram Goyen had it in his old thing. It's not just Rav Amram Goyen actually said it. It was one of those Masaderets. So what is this L'chod Hashem Hatzdaka V'lanu B'Hishtapanim? I mean, What is this? Before you start even the Shemaya Tefillah, Shemaya Tefillah is Shevach. Before you start even Shemaya Tefillah, you start with L'chor Hashem Atzdaka. As if you need a preamble to the introduction. Right? What do you have? You have something similar to this. You have something similar every day. I don't know how many guys in Yeshiva say it. Something similar every day in Tefillah. Avi must not. Right? That's what the tefillah is. So the Rambam brings it down in his Seder HaTfilas. So that's not just a Hasidic thing. See the Rambam's. So apparently it serves a purpose. So at any rate, you have a similar type of idea in Rosh Hashanah. The tefillas of Rosh Hashanah, you have a similar idea. That you say in one of the piyutim in Rosh Hashanah by the Musaf. Baal Musaf says it. Have you got a think of it right after the Nisana Taikif. Right after Nisana Taikif. So there's a tefillah that you just feel just bounces off you. You have to investigate as to why, what the reason is. Because if you don't investigate what the reason is, you're just going to keep saying it the rest of your life. You're not going to really, not going to have any meaning. L'chor Hashem HaTzedakah is a tefillah that somehow or other, everybody says it. I mean, nobody would be arrogant enough not to say it. But there is some resistance to that idea. I like to really undermine that resistance. See? By that way, we'll be able to improve our tefillahs and improve ourselves. Yeah. Right after the Santa, Kishimcha Kainti Lasecha, Kosha Lichos Vinoch Lirtas, Kilosach Pots Mos Hameis. Alright? And that's like this. Then he says, you talk about God, and then you talk about man. Kiyatoye Deitzim, Kihain Basav Adam. Alright? Adam Yesede Me Offer, Vasayfe La Offer. Benafsha Yavi Lachmai, Moshul Kacharis Anishba. Then you go a comparison. You say, also, you have the same idea here, but you have by before the Ashamnos. Right before the Ochets. Okay. It's the same idea. You have the same idea over there, right after the Nisana Tokah. And the same idea, you have that theme you have in many places. The question, there's only one question about that theme. You got it? Before the Ashamnu. Before the Ashamnu. Before the Ashamnu, so you say, Ono Amecho, Vato Vakenu, the whole thing. Then you say, comparison between God and man. You say, Ono Azefonim, Vato Racham Vachanonu, Kshe Orf, Vato Rachapayim, Ono Malei Oven, Vato Malei Racham, Ono Yumene Ketzel Over, Vato Hush Nesech Leitamo. And by the Nisani Tegov also, you say, Yumene Ketzel Over, man's life is like nothing. So everybody says that, but the only question that there is, what do you mean? How could you say that? And actually, we believe in Olam Haba. Man is eternal. Man is eternal. Man's soul is eternal. Exists in Olam Haba forever. So he's not such a small thing. He's not something that just could sail over. Partakes of eternity. Not a small thing. What? Denying one of Yisraeli Adas, right? The Rambam has one of Yisraeli Adas, he has Olam Haba, because he mentions in Schar Vaynish, Olam Haba is mentioned. So you see that Olam Haba is one of Yisraeli Adas. So how could a person say this? It's Kfira. The answer is that in order to be humble, we say things that aren't true. Rambam explains in the Maran Avuchim. He says that we Yadus is vehemently opposed to eternity of the universe. That's Yisraeli Adas. And that's the same thing, the same problem in the universe that existed then is today also. Even though they know that there was a moment of creation, but if a person should believe that the universe is cyclical, in other words, that it expands and then contracts again, and you have cycles, that's kfira, that's eternal universe. See? Yadis maintains that the universe was created by God. But it doesn't necessarily mean, the Rambam says, that it's not eternal in terms of its forward progression. The initiation was not eternal. Had to have a moment of initiation. Had to be created at a certain time. But once it's created, the Rambam says, there's nothing wrong, and as a matter of fact, he's inclined to accept that opinion, that it will continue eternally. It's a question whether it will continue eternally. But that type of eternity is fine. Man, and the Rambam mentions that the souls of the righteous, we believe the souls of the righteous will exist eternally. So eternally is certainly something that's a davar chashuv. It's a long time. Yeah. Each which could partake of eternity can't be just nothing.
But God has no chance.
So you see, as a group, they partake of eternity. Right? So how can you just say randomly, Anu Yamenu Ketzelo Vata Oshinasecho Leitama, yeah? Creatures, we exist eternally. So how can you put us down like that?
Maybe this tefillah's
plastic. That this is one of the main reasons why people really can't take these tefillahs seriously. And I think that it's an extremely important thing, because this you see is an introduction to the tefillahs. Introduction to the tefillahs, yep. Or it could be you tell me it's referring to the physical. The fact remains, the person is the person's life is in the range of his mental framework. The important thing is Olam Haba. Nobody walks around without that idea. That's a religious person.
What motivates that idea?
The important point is. That you must differentiate between Olam Haba as a philosophical reality and between the fantasy of immortality. That's what you must differentiate between. You see? Now, the thing is like this. Truth of the matter is that when a person, just take an individual for a moment, who just takes a look at the world, just observes the what he sees in front of him. I mean, after all, you're born into this world, and the first thing that an inquisitive person should do is take a look around. Right? What do you see? What do you see? A person looks around, he sees a situation, and he sees the Milky Way, he sees galaxies, he sees things millions of light years away, he sees the species, different species that exist. You see? And he comes to the realization, he notices all these species seem to have some type of permanence, but the individuals in those species really just die and pass away, and then the next one comes into existence. Now, then he starts to look at himself, and without any philosophy, he looks at himself. What does he see? What's the given? What is the given? The given is that he is just like any one of these. Just like any one of these, and that he just lives a very short amount of time in terms of the framework of the universe, very like nothing. And he, as an individual, just one individual of billions in the species, a very insignificant creature, just lives and dies, and all his aspirations, all his hopes, his big dreams, are really totally out of proportion with the position that he has in this universe, a very small position, see? But a person can't tolerate this idea. He can't tolerate this idea, because this idea goes against his whole emotion of grandeur, his own greatness. And since he can't tolerate that idea, so how does he escape? He escapes through the concept of existing eternally, the fantasy of immortality, see? This fantasy exists even in the most primitive tribes. And we're all familiar with the happy hunting grounds. The Indians, the different tribes in Africa. Every tribe has a mention of the, has a strong belief in the in certain type of eternity. Why? Why do they have this? Because they can't tolerate the idea of the reality. The reality is, if they just look at the given, just make deductions from the given, they're going to come to a very sorry conclusion. See? One that's not in line with their own with their own over-exaggeration of their own importance. So the only thing they can do is escape into this fantasy of immortality. See? Now, the thing is like this, that it's interesting, very interesting thing, but the Torah doesn't mention a word about, in the Torah, whatever the Torah exhorts a man to keep the mitzvahs, doesn't mention a word about the Olam Haba. Everybody mentions it. They all mentioned it already. How come the Torah doesn't mention it? So some wanted to say that Olam Haba was something that was, some upper person wanted to say Olam Haba was something that was developed later. Right? Developed later. That's, that is the biggest absurdity. Because on the contrary, the most primitive man has it. It's not something that has to be developed. It's not a big development. On the contrary, if you're going to tell me that the Yadis didn't have Olam Haba, then it must have been an unbelievable people. Just a reality. I mean, you're giving it the biggest shevach. The truth of the matter is that Yadis didn't want the person to be lost in the, to use the fantasy of immortality as a motivation. That's not the proper motivation to keep the Torah and to keep mitzvahs. As a matter of fact, the Rambam says anybody that does mitzvahs because of Olam Haba is Shelo Lishma. That's Shelo Lishma. It's the biggest Shelo Lishma. The person who does mitzvahs because he wants to have an eternal existence is doing a Shelo Lishma. That's not Lishma. The Rambam says a person should do mitzvahs because it's the best, it's inherently the good. And it just so happens that man's nature is such that he exists in Olam Haba. See? But a person that does it for the sake of Olam Haba is doing it Shelo Lishma. He's on a low level. He's not on the level. So at any rate, getting back to this, a person naturally has before him a scene which is frightening to him, and he escapes through a certain fantasy that he promotes. Right? This is just an emotional vanity. This is a vanity. Yeah, you'll ask me, but Olam Haba does exist. It's true. Yes, it is true. But the truth of the matter is that if anybody had any idea about what Olam Haba is, and the Rambam tries to give this knowledge in his in Sanhedrin, in the Pirush Mishnayos over there in Sanhedrin, he differentiates between people who think that the next world is a place of eating and sleeping, taivas. He says these are no different than the primitive tribes. In Yadus, it's different. It's like Achila v'Leishasiya, and there's no, it's just Tzadikim Yeshu v'Atresem v'Hashem and enemies of Hashchina. Why do people want to believe like the Rambam has the first group? The first class. Because the answer is because it's something which gives them satisfaction. See? Something which gives them satisfaction. That's what they want. A person is looking for, he's looking for a personal existence. Some type of pleasurable existence eternally. That's what he's looking for. But Yadus cuts him off. And Yadus says, no, it's not true. The souls of the righteous, like the Rambam says in the Mirah, exist eternally, but it will not give you any satisfaction. It doesn't cater to your will not satisfy your desires for immortality. Just so happens to be a fact. It's a philosophical fact, because that type of existence, anybody who has a desire for immortality, that desire stems from his physical nature. It's his physical nature. It's a corruption in the physical, and that desire will not be satisfied by an abstract soul that's existing in perceiving God. Okay, what he's looking for, you're the same, but it's not so simple. It's not so simple. The Rambam and the Mirah shows the many problems that are involved with the Hasharas and Nefesh and how it is. So the Rambam says it's one of the most difficult areas. But people grab onto it, not because of the abstract principle of Hasharas and Nefesh, but because it caters to a crazy emotion. What is the emotion? A denial of the of the right of the temporariness of the personal existence. See? And the truth of the matter is that a person's personal existence is a temporary one. The things that exist in Olam Haba do not cater to the personal. It's not just a second. He will not have the affection of his wife, his kids, his parents, his friends. All those things that he really wants, that he really enjoys, that he wants to maintain, do not exist over there. So the personal, insofar as the personal is concerned, there is no Olam Haba does not carry with it any of that satisfaction. But a person tricks himself into thinking that this Olam Haba, which Yada says, is really the personal fantasy of immortality that he's after. That's why the Rambam says, that's the Rambam in the Pirshei Mishnayos. That's why the ones, at least of a person, the first sheet is that Olam Haba is physical, personal. See? At least they're consistent. But some people fool themselves. They say what the Rambam says is true, that it's not personal, and yet somehow or other they derive personal satisfaction from it. See? That's the thing. Now, the personal Olam Haba just stems from man's vanity, his ego, his own self-importance. Because he can't tolerate the idea that he's just another one of billions of creatures on this planet. Can't tolerate that idea. It's gaiva. See? That's why we say, Mefikach anachnu, in the morning tefillah. What's the lesson again? V'yashkin v'yemar, Ribon kol olamim. Right. All these personal things that we take pride in ourselves are all false. They're all false. Insofar as the personal is concerned, we're just another creature. Just another creature. Just like any other creature. So the whole purpose of this tefillah is to break the false vanity of a person. And it's true. Insofar as the personal is concerned, we're not immortal, insofar as the personal is concerned. The fact that our neshama happens to exist, because that's the nature of the way God created the human soul, that doesn't offer a person the fantasy of immortality. It doesn't cater to the fantasy of immortality. That's an abstract idea. But the tefillah is talking in terms of the personal, how the individual feels his emotions, how he feels insofar as his personal self, insofar as his personal self is concerned, onu yameinu ketzel ofer. All the enjoyments that we have and all the pleasures and all the things in life that we value emotionally, ketzel ofer, doesn't mean a thing. It's nothing. See? Doesn't mean a thing. It's not a denial of Olam Haba. Not a denial of Olam Haba. But it is a break-off of the relationship between the actual Olam Haba and the base personal satisfaction that a person has out of the fancy of his own immortality. That's just ego. That's just gaiva. That's what the tefillah is. That's why it's a prerequisite, really, for tefillah. I think most people don't really feel the tefillah when they say it, because they don't realize this. They're fooled by the fact that Yadis believes in their own boss, so they say it. They're not going to, you know, they're not saying this is gaiva. But in the back of their mind, there's something protecting themselves from that realization. What protects them from that realization? The fancy of immortality. See, which is what the tefillah really breaks. It's not a stira. It's two different frameworks. The tefillah is speaking in the framework of the personal vanity that we have. The fact that there's no Olam Haba doesn't cater at all to that vanity, because the type of Olam Haba that we have, nobody would even want it. Nobody would want it in terms of his own personal satisfaction. Wouldn't he doesn't have any idea of what it is at all. Has no idea of what it is. Yeah. Before is one of the Yesodei Das. But you cannot, if you're looking to Olam Haba because you want the personal satisfaction that you're not getting out of this world, then you are just doing things shalom lishma. That's not lishma. It's not lishma, and it's not true, because the personal satisfaction that you're seeking is not there. What you're looking for is personal satisfaction. A true perfected individual does not do anything because of Olam Haba. Doesn't do it because of Olam Haba. True perfected individual does things because he recognizes that this is the true way of life, and there is no other way. This is what you have to do. But this is the true way of life. If he puts his energy into this fantasy, it shows you it's just What it is actually is energy that is left over from his personal frustrations. That's what it is. The energy that's left over from his personal frustrations and his taivas and his desires in this world go into the idea of I'm going to get them somewhere else. When? Somewhere in the future. See? And this carries with it the fantasy of his the overestimation of his own the overestimation of his own value, his own value as a creature. See? That's what it is. It has nothing to do with it. Just so happens there's no Abba, but it has nothing to do with it. Rambam Zelo Mabba, the first one, say, yeah, it's a primitive idea. Nobody believes that today. It may be true that the person realizes that that's not the Olam Haba he should believe in, but he tries to attach the same emotions that went to that belong to that Olam Haba, tries to attach to the new one. You see? So he's not really free. He's not really free of it. More sophisticated, but still, somehow or other, I'm going to get what I want there. See? That's the that's the mistake. Yes. Say this before Tefillah. You notice, like Shachris say it also. Yashkin Liyomar. Before Tefillah, he has to say this. What's the reason? The reason is because, like I said, in Tefillah, Chazal recognize that there's a tremendous danger over here. What is the danger of Tefillah? The danger of Tefillah is that, on the contrary, it'll cater to man's own vanity and to his overestimation of himself. Here he gets up every morning. Okay, now I will talk to God. I mean, this is a tremendous, tremendous egoistic boost. He feels great. He's talking to God. He's why everything's it caters tremendously to his own vanity and to his gaiva, to his overestimation of himself. There's a tremendous danger in tefillah. So Chazal recognized that danger in tefillah, and therefore to correct it, what they did was, as a preamble, they said that a person should first recognize the falseness. This tefillah can be corruptive. Tefillah can corrupt a person even more, and that's why you see that, I think it was the brother of the Gra one time said that a person shouldn't betzibur, he shouldn't daven longer than his chaverim. Why? Because says the whole purpose of tefillah is that a person should have a nevis. Doesn't use it any longer. He says he has the biggest gaiva. Then he is it. Tefillah, all the ways of the Torah are there to perfect the person. But if it's not done properly, it could be can have an adverse effect.
It's an interesting thing.
It doesn't just say like between the what we say every morning and between the Chodesh Hashem and Sukkot. All right. Let's start and let's see what you have to say about it. Ribayin kol ha'elamim lo yalchit keseinu anachnu mapilim tachanunenu lefanecho ki al rachamecho ha'rabim mo'onu mechayenu mechazdenu matzikeseinu mayeshuaseinu makecheinu ma'agvuraseinu ma'anemu lefanecho ha'ashem alakenu lekevesinu lekole gibarim kayin lefanecho v'anshe shemim lo yoyu v'chacham kifli ma'adan v'anim kifli askim v'rev ma'aseyem toyu v'mechayim heva lefanecho. Alright. And here you have the Chod Hashem Atzdokah, V'lona Abayish Zaponim, Manas Oine, Manoima, Manadaber, Manetz Tadok. Okay? Basic difference is that in the Rebbein Kol HaElam, they say every morning, you have also, you say, Makaychenu, Magvurasenu, Haloi Kala Gibarim, Kain Lefanecha. So over there you mention, see, there's really two identities that a person has. A person identifies himself as a spiritual being, right, and also as a physical being. So in the one every morning you mention both, not only the spiritual, it's talking about spiritual, but not only with regard to our virtues, spiritual virtues, do we recognize our insignificance, but also with regard to our physical self, as a physical being. How great is a person's strength? So a person recognizes his insignificance, his physical insignificance. Whereas over here, you only mention the spiritual. Olana boish upon him. Man nesainin, man noimer, man adaber, man estadak. Okay? Nach posad rachim, nach kerven, nach shul Hashem. So it's only the spiritual. That's one difference. There's another difference over here. The other difference is in how it's expressed. You see, over here you say, Loyal sikaseinu anachnu mapilim tachnanin lefanecho, kel rechamecho rabim, and then, that's about it, you see. But over here we say, manes oinein umanoimer manedaber manetz tadak. What's the difference between the, what does this imply? Manes oinein umanoimer manedaber manetz tadak. There's a certain implication. What's the implication? Is from Echa. My Yisonein Adam Chai Gevro Chatov. So, what does it mean? It means that a person cannot complain. Why? Because his chatoim are the things that led to the destruction. He can't complain about the destruction. So, what is the implication over here? Minus Einin. The implication is that the person is being charged and is about to face a terrible Esar because of that. That's why it's taken from Echa. Why Echa was the greatest tragedy. You see? So the thing is, well, what is saying Echa Mayasana Nochai? I mean, how could a person complain about this? Echa Yeshua Badr, how could it be? But the fact remains that it's just Mayasana Nochai, Gevro Chatov. You see? So this, the difference between Lechor Hashem Atzdokam, between Rebbein Kol Olamim is one thing. In Rebbein Kol Olamim, it's a normal day, it's a regular day. Nobody's being, God isn't charging you, you're not about to have a catastrophe. Whereas in Lechor Hashem Atzdokah, it means it's you're being charged with something, see? And you recognize that there's an impending evil that's about to befall you. And therefore you're trying to come to face it and to come to God to avert the tragedy. That's why we said it's a state of urgency. That's why it's before the tefillah, the slichus, you see? And that's why it answers the other question. Why is it that in Rebbein Kol Olam you mention your physical being as well as your spiritual self, whereas over here you only mention the spiritual self? Because the answer is over here, the physical has nothing to do with it. Because you're concerned about the impending judgment. And that's the judgment is not with regard to your physical self, it's only with regard to the spiritual. So that's why you say, L'chor, that's why I started to say, L'chor Hashem Atzdak. V'lona bashes upon it. Okay? That's why it's limited. It's the same idea as Rebbein Kol Olam. But it's adjusted to a different framework. You know what I mean? That's why I have a difference. The prerequisite for tefillah every day, a person has to have an accurate concept of himself as a being. What type of a being is he? So he has to break the fantasy. He's nothing. Man is powerful one day, one little mishap, he's sick and weak and ready to die. So man is basically nothing. It's a fantasy that he has about his greatness. But the point is that he has to know what his self is before he can relate this self to God in the situation of tefillah. Yeah. Okay. So say the Chodesh Shemitz Zdokka V'lana Bayish Tapanim Manas Aini Manim Madam Manas Tarak. Right.
Yeah.
All right. Now the point is like this: why is it really that the Chodesh Shemitz Zdokka and we don't have any Zdokka? I mean, it's nice of us to say this, right? Mm-hmm. But why, can somebody pinpoint why we say, L'chad Hashem HaTzedakah V'lana Baish Sapan? And most people think of themselves as being pretty just and pretty righteous. I haven't met too many people that say that they're not righteous. You know what I mean? So why do we say over here, L'chad Hashem HaTzedakah V'lana Baish Sapan? What does it mean? What are you, is any idea attached to that or just some...
Because
the pshat is that we also try to be just, but all our justice is tainted with the personal. See? That's why Rabbi Yisrael Salanter asked the Kasha. It says in the Pasuk, Ki chol d'rochav mishpat. So Rabbi Yisrael Salanter asked the Kasha, he says, what do you mean Ki chol d'rochav mishpat? If we say Ki chol d'rochav chesed, so that'll be Shevach, you know? If we say chol d'rochav mishpat, justice, a man also does justice. What kind of superiority is this in relation to God? You're praising God, you're saying Kol Rachav Mishpat. So Rosh Hashanah said something, he gave an answer, a different answer. He said like this, he said
that a person's justice is limited only to those individuals which she deals with directly. He said, for instance, if Bezdin has to kill somebody, so it could be that this Ratzeach has a mother that's a great tzaddikus. And when the Ratzeach is going to be executed, so her life will be ruined. But man can't, cannot deal justly with, indirectly. Indirectly he can't, because he has no ability to. But God is different, he said. Kol derachav mishpat. If somebody dies, so everybody who's affected by it also was taken into the judgment. That's what Rishon Lezion to say. It's a sharp idea. But I was thinking of another pshat. Not only in terms of the relations, the external or secondary relationships, but inherently. Kol derachav mishpat means that God is the only one who is always just. Man's justice, his idea of justice, is always tainted with a precedent. So, and that's also pshat ki lo yikach shechad. God doesn't take any shechad. Why? What's the pshat? It means that you cannot affect him in any way that you should distort his judgment. Whereas a human being, doesn't mean you have to give him shechad, doesn't necessarily mean a present. Shechad means he's your friend. He's your friend. So therefore, he's your friend. So he stole from somebody else or whatever, you overlook it. You know, it wasn't 100% justice the way he dealt with somebody else. Doesn't matter. He's my friend. Personally, I like him personally. So a human being is always going to be affected by the personal. See, whereas God's judgment is completely straight, logical, according to the dictates of Chachma. That's why I say Lachor Hashem as tzedakah v'lana by tzedakah. That's a different type of tzedakah. His tzedakah is different than ours. Now, the question is this. I mentioned yesterday, I said, like, there's certain things that interfere, like Dvarim Hama'akvim as a tefillah. There are certain things which interfere with the proper ideas when we daven. And I think that there's something over here. When you say L'chor Hashem HaTzedakah, there's something that interferes also over here with the acceptance, the wholehearted acceptance of this term, you see, this phrase. It could be a lot of things, but there's one thing in particular I think is important to point out. Does anybody have any suggestions on it? So what really stands in your way? Well, let me ask you, what stands in your way? When you say L'chor Hashem HaTzedakah, I mean, you don't really believe it, that we're really L'ana B'Yishah upon him. I mean, you don't really feel that way. So, why? Sure, the person's ego gets in the way. A person considers himself as being good. Really, Chazal say that a person should consider himself as being neither good nor evil. Yeah, he should be Lo Lam Yir Adam Es Atzmo Chetz Yachaye V'Chetz Yazakai. Difficult request on the part of Chazal, but that's what Chazal said. A person shouldn't feel or think of himself as being good, but a person ordinarily does think of himself as being good. Yes. Neutrality towards the way he towards himself. What? Either way is not good. The person thinks he's a big tzaddik is very bad, and the person thinks he's a big rush is also bad. Feeling of neutrality. That's the. Yes. Yeah. See, the thing is like this. Let's take it. There's something else I think here besides that. We'll get back to that point. That's a good point. I've raised the question. How can Chazal say a person should be unrealistic about himself? Is he good or is he not good? The thing is like this. That there's another point here. We always feel, we always think in terms of our relationship to God, we always think in terms of the personal, the subjective. But we don't realize there's an objective also. There's a different framework. There's an objective framework too. Thing is like this, that for instance, we always feel this way. Well, we tried, and therefore we're on a certain level. And since we're on that level, so we deserve certain things. That's why people have a lot of complaints to God, and things don't go the way they want it to go. I tried so hard, I'm such a good person, and look what happened. You have to realize, like the Rambam explains in the Mira, that there is an objective situation here. In other words, God, like the Rambam explains, that God's Hashgacha relates to people who are Chachamim, insofar as they're Chachamim. That's the way that Hashgacha works. There's a science of Hashgacha. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu asked God, Harein Yehavim Nostrachacha. He wanted to know the ways Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Wanted to know it. Apparently wasn't a simple thing that God just goes over to each person and he tried, he gets a little prize and everyone does it. It's a science over there. There's a whole system that's working. An objective system. Now, if a person is a total ignoramus, I don't care how much he tries, he can't have Nevuah. It's impossible. He can't relate to God in that way. Because Nevuah has certain requirements. See, so there's an objective system. In order for a person to relate to God, he has to be functioning in a certain way. And he has to have certain requirements. So he has to have a certain amount of intellect. He has to have a certain... There was going to say, Ein Nevuah Asher Elo Chacham Gibor V'Asher. Those three things. It has to be a Chacham, it has to be a Gibor, meaning his emotions are in the right place. And Asher, a person is satisfied with what he has, isn't looking for more money. That's the those are the three requirements. Now this is an objective thing. A person could be trying very hard, but objectively he's not on that level. So therefore the Hashgacha simply doesn't relate to him. So really there's two systems. There's a subjective system and there's an objective system. Now, I'm not talking about I can't tell you Kadosh Baruch Hu because that's Chavainish things, I guess. I mean, we don't know these things. But we know one thing, there is an objective situation and there's a subjective situation. Moshe Rabbeinu had to have the capabilities of Moshe Rabbeinu. And had those capabilities. Had to be a tremendous chacham. There's midos. And the Rambam in the Mora, for instance, says that certain people have physical situations, he means physical and psychological situations, which their physical and psychological being don't interfere with their intellect and allows them to learn and to be involved in thought. So the other people don't have that. So they have to work on themselves, they have to train themselves. But there are differences, there are inherent differences. Now, once you get into an objective system, you see, when you're speaking, if you think only in terms of the subjective, so you may go astray and think of yourself as a good person, trying hard. But you have to realize when you're standing before the Borei Olam, the one who created the universe, and he judges, he relates to man in a certain way, there are objective standards also. And objectively, you have to recognize that we're lacking. So l'chor Hashem atzdaka is an objective condemnation. That's what it is. L'chor Hashem atzdaka v'lana b'ish apanim is objectively. What type of what level are we on? We're objectively. Well, never mind. Try. Don't try, man. This is something. This. See, obvious. How can you say that you should feel a certain way about yourself? That's the subjective area Chazal are referring to. And the subjective area, no one knows. Who knows if we tried enough? Do I know if I tried enough? Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. So Chazal say you should be neutral about yourself. Only God knows that. Okay? But since you can't know it, so you shouldn't allow either emotion to overpower you. You shouldn't allow the emotion that you're such a good guy overpower you or that you're such a bad guy. The best way to function, Chazal say, is neutral. This is neutral, so he has the most motivation. Okay? That's something that nobody could know. But in terms of the objective level, is what's being discussed here. Objective level is only one thing you can say. L'chor Hashem atzdaka, l'olano b'ish sakon. That's the way we function. We function through the emotions, and we're tied to nonsense, and we just, it's just, for man, it's just like once in a while, like the Rambam says, once in a while he sees the flash. He sees the flash of lightning in a dark sky. Most of the time he's in darkness, and once in a while a lightning bolt comes by, he sees an idea or chachma. But the rest of his life is involved in the personal, in the emotional, the lowest part of man. So that's why L'chor Hashem Atzdaka V'lano B'ish Apanim is an objective condemnation. As an objective condemnation, it carries a lot of force, if you read it that way.
Can't see that he's great.
It's not necessary for a person to feel it. There's no reason why a person should feel himself as being righteous. If he has that need, so apparently he has a certain bad need that he's catering to. And the other way is also bad. If he thinks himself as bad, that's also a bad need. Yeah.
So what's the
problem? Also, the part of is with regard to the klal. What? But the point, I guess, the part of Hashem has stuck one, but that's why, with regard to the klal also. See, the halacha is, as you see, that the slichas can only be said b'tzibor. There are some achrenim that say that you should say slichas b'yachad also. The Rav said no, he said it's only b'tzibor. That's why you have Kaddish. Kaddish only is only B'tzibur. Because Kaddish, the reason why Kaddish B'yochad can't be, because Kaddish is not just a personal hope for the future. You have to have a group that represents the future in terms of that recognizes. It has to have a group that recognizes the tzibur reflects the ultimate. You hope that the tzibur should be expanded to reflect the whole tzibur, the whole klal. But the thing is, with regard to slichas, slichas is b'tzibur. So b'chor Hashem HaTzedakah, the why? Because God relates to the tzibur as a whole. Also, there's a judgment with regard to the tzibur as a whole, besides the individual. And we partake of the, whatever judgment that is, we partake of that judgment. So b'chor, and that depends on the level of the tzibur. So b'chor Hashem HaTzedakah is not only the person insofar as he's an individual, but insofar as he partakes of the tzibur. I live in a certain society, I live in a certain tzibur. The society is being judged, and I'm part of the society. What kind of society is it? So it's not just the personal, it's insofar as he's part of Klal Yisrael also. Yes? Not just the personal urgency, it's an urgency with regard to the tzibur, really. That's what the urgency is. And everybody, whether he wants to or not, partakes of the tzibur and abides by the judgment of the tzibur. You know the Gemara says, "Kivan shenitn reshus l'mashkis, einem mafchem bein tev l'ra." The Gemara says, "How can you have an epidemic and tzaddikim die?" The Gemara says, "That's it. It's no kasher. Can't kasher, because the epidemic was given on the basis of the whole group, and once it's given, the yachid wouldn't can't be saved. The yachid will not be saved." That is one of the ways God judges. You're part of the tzibur. You have a responsibility, you're part of the tzibur. As far as living in the tzibur, you have to identify yourself with the tzibur. That's what the Gemara says. A person's parishioner tzibur is it's a terrible thing. Parishioner tzibur is like is one of the things that Ram says over there. He's a Enochas Shuvah, the Ram has it. Parishioner Dak at tzibur has no chel no bar. Yeah. Take a look at the next pasuk. That why are we really luchad Hashem Tzedakah? Why is it luchad Hashem Tzedakah? Objectively, because the level that we function at is a low level. We function at the level of the personal. Okay. Then we say nach pesa derachenu v'nachkara v'nashuva el Hashem. Sorry, v'nashuva el lechad. Pasuk is v'nashuva el Hashem. Okay, now, what does it say? Nach besad rachinu. It's interesting. Nach, the first part, everybody has an idea of tshuva. Nach besad rachinu. What does nach besad rachinu mean? We must investigate, scrutinize our ways, right? Then if you say nach besad rachinu v'nashuva l'Hashem, there's one word in there. What's the word? V'nachkar. What does v'nachkar mean? What? Yevanachkara means knowledge. The Ligula Sain Cheker. What does Ligula Sain Cheker? That a person can't fathom the greatness of God. And intellectually, can't master it intellectually. The universe will never be understood by man intellectually, according to the Yadis. Never. Relativity solves certain problems, and there's other problems. Never will man be able to have a total grasp of the universe. One of the premises of the Yadis in Tillim, as David HaMelech always said, "Vodula Sein Cheker," impossible. Now, the thing is like this: that what do we say over here? We're defective. Why are we defective? Not just defective because we're bad willed. So that's just a common idea of even Goyim has such an idea. You know what I mean? Like bad, you. You want to do bad. Now you want to do good. That's the simpleton's idea of good and bad. But yeah, this is much deeper. Nachpasa, why are we deficient? We're deficient because we're not using the Tzelem Elokim. We're not applying. Really, what is the chait really? Chait is a lack of application of chachma to a person's life. That's what it really is. It's a lack of application. So that's why it says, Nachpasa derachenu. Let's take a look. Let's search out our ways. Vinachkora. Nachkora means, and let's get an intellectual grasp of them. Let's understand them with the mind. Then Vinashuva Elecha. See? Why? Because the only way that we could ever relate to God as beings is through through knowledge and understanding. Real knowledge. And achkara, hakira, you know, means to really have an intellectual grasp of it. That's what it is. Nachpasad Rachenu, not just Nachpasad Rachenu Nashua Lar Hashem. It's a shallow idea of tshuva. Nachpasad Rachenu v'nachkora v'nashua Lar Hashem. So it requires a lot of knowledge and intellect in order to be able to grasp and understand our ways and how they are deficient and to make the changes. If a person just feels he's going to be good now, that's a very low level of tshuva. It's not really, I mean, I'm not saying it's not tshuva. Because the Gemara says, even if a person here believes for a second, he's a Balchua. It's something. He's closer than he was before. He made some move in the right direction. But the real tshuva is Venachkara. That's what the Pasuk says. Different idea of tshuva than most people have. Okay. Now, what do we say? It's the same idea as Lechad Hashem HaZdaka, like we said. Because God deals objectively, rationally, and we are subject to the personal. That's why Nachpasad Rachinu v'Nachkorav v'Nashuva Alad Hashem. Now, let's take a look. So what's left? So what's left at this point? What's the situation at this point? At this point, the situation is very bad. Because we are really so far from God that we're so deficient, so nothing, so worthless, that how we can't relate to God. Can't relate to him, right? That's what we say. But what then? Can't come with chesed, can't come with masim. Inherently, there's no relationship. So what are you? So what's there to talk about? So close the sitter and go home. That's it. Right? Go back to sleep. Right? So what's the pshat? So what do we say? No, there's one thing over here. An interesting thing. Kedalim ukerashim dafaknu lasecha. What does that mean? Amazing thing. And if you stop at this point, so you should go home. Say, no, there's still one more concept over here, which saves us. And that is Kedalim Ukerashim Dafaknu Lasecha. What does it mean?
Humility?
What does it mean?
We're still trying. We're knocking at your gate.
What do you mean you're knocking? Who told you? Who told you to knock at the gate? Who gave permission to get out of here? Who gave permission? What's the shot? Read further. You tell me what the answer is. What's the answer? What's the answer? Ki ata shemei atfila. That's the end of the paragraph. Say, what right do we have to do it? No al tashivenu reikom el fanecha. El fanecha makena reikom al tashivenu. Why? Ki ata shemei atfila. Means as far as our minds can grasp, doesn't make any sense really. Really, we shouldn't be standing here asking God for forgiveness. Is a hopeless situation. We can't even stand there. We can't even talk to him. We have no relationship to him. And the whole thing is a waste of time. But there's one thing. Ata shemei tefillah. We know that God listens to tefillah. It's an amazing thing. I mean, it's something we can't comprehend. But that fact we know. We know that from our Masorah. So because of that, we're here. You see, I one time mentioned before, I told you, I said that Einstein said that he cannot believe in a personal God. Can't accept a personal God. Why? Because a person studies the universe, he doesn't see in the universe. He sees on the contrary. He sees that it doesn't make sense that God should, the source of all this chachma, should relate to a man with his personal needs. Doesn't make any sense, you see. So therefore, he said that he can't be. You see? Now, a person who is convinced emotionally that God does relate to man is a bigger fool, because he just never study Chachma. He doesn't understand this whole system there, the whole order. He never saw the Chachma in the universe. So to him, it would make sense that he should get up every morning, and the first thing God should do is concern himself with what this fool has to do for the day. Make sure he has his nonsensical desires, you know? Nothing else matters. That's a person who's a total fool. A person who becomes a chacham, like Einstein, sees that this man is involved in the small of his nonsense. There's a whole universe out here. It doesn't make any sense that the source of this chachma should be involved with this stupidity. You see? Yada says like this. Yada says one step further. Yada says we have no right even to make an opinion about the source of the universe. We have no right to make an opinion like that. That's what he took. To say that because I have a knowledge of science and from that I see a source of chachma, that's fine. That's good. But to say that now I have gained enough knowledge to know that this source of chachma does A or does not do A, that we have no right to say. So that's what David HaMelech said, more enoish kisis kareno. David HaMelech came to the same conclusion. What is man that God should remember? Uben Adam kisif kedeno, that God should appoint certain things, certain things should happen to a certain individual at a certain time. Doesn't make any sense. Like you were saying, Cheker. You see, the chachma of the universe is too great to allow a person to feel that this source of chachma is going to relate to this individual at this given time. But David HaMelech said, that's the way Moenesh Kisiskereno, that's the way I feel. But the fact is, we do not know, even with all the knowledge a person can ever attain, he can never make a deduction with relationship to the source of the universe. See? And that's why we know from the Torah, Ki Ata Shomea Tefillah. That's it. We know that fact. On the basis of that fact, we're being misfollowed. That's the introduction. If a person doesn't feel Moenesh Kisiskereno, if a person feels that it makes a lot of sense that God should remember me, then he should know that he is completely wrong. He has no shekels, then he's lost in the infant's hour.
But we know that God doesn't.
To feel the kasha. Far removed. We cannot make any judgments with regard to his actions to say that he will do this or he won't do this. That's it. But the fact is, we know from the Sarek at the Shematzvila, and that's what we're called.
All right.
I just mentioned this. Let me ask you about Malchus. You know, what the definition of Kael and Melech? So Kael means almighty, all powerful. Melech means, the term Melech means the attribute. He has an attribute which demands that all recognize their subservience to him. Okay. That's what Melech means. But in other words, Melech Malchus Hashem means the recognition of total subservience to God. The Eder called Paul Kiyata Falto, the Eder called Yatzer Kiyata Yitzarta. The Eder called Hashem Shabbat Hashem Hashem Melech, and that's really what Malchus is. But it's because of a certain attribute of God. Now, it's interesting halachically that in Birchas HaMazon, whenever you say Yalav Yavu, you never say Kikel Melech Chana Rachamata. Say Kikel Chana Rachamata. You skip Melech. Why? Because you're not allowed to mention Malchus Beis David, Malchus Hashem in one bracha. Because a man's kingdom and God's kingdom are qualitatively differentiated. They should never be in the same, shouldn't say them in the same bracha together. But on Rosh Hashanah, you do say Kikel Melech Chana Rachamata in Yalav Yavu. Why? I'm not allowed to mention both Malchus together. The answer is because over here, Melech is not indicative of a Malchus, an extraneous situation. But Melech assumes the one of the Midas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of the attributes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Melech is synonymous, and Kel Melech and Rachamot and Rashan, synonymous with the name of Hashem. Even though you understand that every name that we have of God has nothing to do with his essence. It has nothing to do with his essence. As a matter of fact, the greatness of the tefillahs are that there's so much tefillah and nothing is said about God himself. It's the greatness of the tefillah. So much tefillah, nothing said about God himself. It's like circling the unknown, the mysterious unknown. See? That's what all the tefillahs really are. Never really approach him. Say so much about him, but you're not saying a thing about him. It's an amazing thing. They brought out Hashem. What does Hashem mean? My master means a being to whom I have to feel what they do towards the master, right? Ke'elakenu means that he relates to us. Ke'avaseinu, related to our forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Or Ke'elagadlagivaneira, that's the only three things that we say. And we say we don't understand what it means. Moshe Rabbeinu said it. He understood the... He had a right to say it. We have no right to say it. We just repeat what Moshe Rabbeinu said. And all the tefillahs, all the piyutim, Melech Elyon, and the every piyut that we say, I mean, you're not really saying anything. But what is the purpose of the piyut? The purpose of the piyut is, you see, how do we relate to God? That's the question. How do we relate to God? We cannot have an essential relationship to God, like the Rambam points out. We only have negative knowledge. The mystery of God's nature is something which a man can never fathom. But we relate to him through certain things. That's why, how does tefillah start off every day? How do you start off tefillah? What's the beginning of tefillah? See where Chazal worked out tefillah. What is the beginning of tefillah every day? Baruch Shamar V'Yoyolam. Right? So we relate to him by the fact that he is the creator of the universe. So through the universe, we can relate. There's a creator. That's it. Then the next thing you say, Yetzirah again, and then Ava Rabba, relate to him to the fact that he gave us the Torah. I said, that being which gave us the Torah. And never do we actually know in any way that being. We just all the piyutim and all the tefillahs is just an enumeration of different ways that he's manifested to us. You see? Different ways that we're affected by the fact that there is a creator. But the creator himself, we have no shaykhus to, as a essentially. It's an amazing thing. What? What idolatry is. Idolatry is the attempt to relate to the substance of the creator. That's why Yadda says cannot be done. Man must always be in a state of frustration. We got to that. If he's not, then he's completely out of reality. Idolatry, Avodah Zarah, is the attempt to relate essentially to the creator. In Yadus, there is no such thing. Yadus, the whole system of Yadus is basically that. That's really what's the essence of Yadus. The essence of Yadus is, like the Rambam says, the abolition of Avodah Zarah. So you wonder, what's the abolition of Avodah Zarah? The abolition of the emotional drive for Avodah Zarah. That's what the essence of Yadus is. So, and the satisfaction of that desire to reach the Creator is Avodah Zarah. Yadus says, no, man has to recognize the reality of his place in the universe. And with his small mind, he can't even fathom the universe. The psukim, l'dula sayin cheker, impossible. Never be able to. Asher b'yadei mechkerei arts. Only he knows the underlying theories of the universe. No human being will ever attain, can ever attain knowledge. A unified field theory that Einstein was looking for is unattainable. Can never be attained. If they find the unified theory, there'll be another area that doesn't fit in. Man cannot attain that. Certainly he could never attain the knowledge of the Creator himself, which is the source of the whole universe. But he must be able to live in that state, in recognition of his position in reality. That's what we are. And we can't... That's the other demands we recognize that state. That's what we are. And it's maybe frustrating, like you said, but that's the reality. All the people do is they increase the realm of experiences that lead back to God. You know, a lot of experiences lead back to God. You don't think about it every day. But the piyutim bring all these different experiences in. He does this, he does that, he does this, all these things. So that's the only way that we can relate to him. So, the Ramis and a Chacham is, see, it's like if you start at the bottom of a mountain, and everybody would be looking up to the top of the mountain. I say, well, it would be tremendous to reach that peak, you know? And one person is a fantastic climber, and he reaches that peak, right? But from that peak, you could see that there are mountains that are 20 times higher than the mountain that he just climbed, right? Now everybody at the bottom is going to think that that's the peak. If you get to that peak, boy, you really, that's it. You made a great conquest, right? But the person who was at that point can see, on the contrary, that he hasn't begun to even climb the mountains. But those on the bottom can't see the other mountains that person can see from that vantage point. You know what I mean? That's the difference between the Chacham and the Ha'al. Namon thinks that that's it. They see the point. You know, they don't realize when you reach that point, that's when the other mountains first become visible. You know what I mean? That's the word. So a person should have a proper attitude of what he's, of who he's being mispalled to, and the nature of his tefillah. You can have question on the Slichus tape was Kiyata Shemeya Tefila, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we're mispal, because we know that fact that he is a Shemeya Tefila. All right. So therefore, it makes sense for us to be mispal, even though the very act of being mispal carries with it emotionally an unbelievable type of feeling of it being completely preposterous, because how could we possibly do this? You know what I mean? But nevertheless, that's what we have to do. That's what we rationally. That's the proper move. You know what I mean? Okay. Now we start. Okay. First, in the Pesukim, it says, Shemeya Tefila Adecha Kol Basar Yavayo. What does Adecha mean, really? Shemeya Tefila Adecha Kol Basar Yavayo. What's Adecha? Ad, until. To approach. You should approach God. Right? See, the difference between Elecha just implies that you're going to a certain place, a situation. See? But Odecha means more. Odecha means that you are approaching. You're approaching God in a certain way. You know what I mean? In other words, that implies that the distance, there's an external distance between me and the object. See? So I have to span that distance. But in the recognition of the object itself, there is nothing lacking. That's Elecha. So the only thing is, I know what the object is, I recognize it, it's in this point, and I have to reach that point. So I have to go to that point. But if the object itself, which I'm dealing with, I don't recognize, not because there's an external distance, but there's an inherent difficulty in my vision. Vision is a bad example. There's an inherent difficulty in my concept of the thing. You see, then that's a different kind of distance that I have to span. You know what I mean? You understand what I'm saying? Now, Odecha, the implication of Shemeya Tefila, Odecha Kol Basar Yavayo, means that it's not just that we have to, God is over here, we have to go over there. But Odecha means that we have to get closer to, we have to approach closer, improve our perception and our knowledge with relationship to how we relate to God himself. You know what I mean? With relationship to God himself. That's what it means. Odecha Kol Basar Yavayo means that you change your ideas with relationship to God himself. That's what Adecha means. See, Elecha means the distance. I have to cover the distance. But Adecha means that I change my ideas of God himself. I improve in my concept of... I approach God closer by gaining in my perception. Of course, I mean, when we use all these terms, I mean, you can't really perceive God, but it means, and I'm just using it as a marshal, my perception of him himself. You know what I mean? Do you follow what I'm saying? That Shemeya Tefila Odecha Kol Basar Yavayo. It means that the one who listens to Tefila, we say that people should, not just they should pray to God. I mean, Elecha, everybody should pray to God. Now, Adecha Kol Basar Yavayo, that everybody should have a greater, more profound recognition and an understanding of God. See, that's what Adecha means. Why? Because without the understanding, the tefillah is worthless. Doesn't mean anything. That's why this is the first pasuk. Shemeya Tefila, Adecha Kol Basar Yavayo. It's not Elecha. Elecha would mean everybody, I wish everybody would pray to God. That's Elecha. That wouldn't be good. Odecha means that people should increase their understanding. They should come closer to God. How do you come closer to God? How does a person relate closer to God? By increasing his understanding and his knowledge. Odecha Kol Basar Yavayo. See? That's the first pasuk.
What is that?
Understanding and knowledge doesn't mean we have a direct understanding of God. But we approach a closer and a better understanding. We approach God. There are people who are further away,
from the true knowledge of God, even though that's what the Rambam explains in the Mora, that there's such a thing as negative knowledge. So even though two people do not know what a thing is, one person can be closer, because he's removed certain false notions. You see? So that's the way we approach God. It's like I one time explained that the Newtonian idea of the universe is not correct. Okay, the Newtonian idea of the universe is not correct. Einstein, sure, there's another theory, but I can assure you that Newton was closer to Einstein's theory than the man on the street. Why? Because the man in the street, it could be anything. Newton had a point limited to this thing. Now all you have to do is show him that this is wrong and show him the change, and he'll see it. The person on the street doesn't have any background, any knowledge at all. So just because a person, in theory, a person will always approach, theoretically, really all theory, all human theory is just approaching reality. See, closer. Because the ultimate theory, no one knows. Every generation, we see new insight, and many theories are overthrown. But so far at least, every theory has been overthrown. But the point is, these people who had the knowledge in the past, they approached, at a certain level, approaching reality. See? Okay. So that's the point. Now let's see. Now what are the next psukim over here? The same idea. Yavoy kol basa shtachva nar Hashem. Yavoy shtachva nar Hashem v'chal v'shmecha. Boyu nishtachva v'nichra nivrchol afnei Hashem ayseinu. Alright? It's repetition. But these three psukim have the same idea. Now I'll show you. Now the next psukim have a different idea. Navoy l'mishkinoysav nishtachva l'adim raglov. That pasuk, Bayashar Vasaira Chatsera Sav Basila, has another idea. It is in line with Nevoila Mishkanaisav. Ramura Shalakin Vishtahula Dem Raglov, same idea as the one just before. Ramura Shalakishtahla Hakachai, Ishtahla Shem Hadras Kadesh, Chilmi Pavkalorats, Vanachna Rechaska Nevoya Vesecha, Nishtahla Hakachab Yersecha, same still. Nishtahla Hakachab Neda Shemecha, Haslan Mitecha, Gidalto Koshim Chamersecha, the same. Alright. Now, what are the two ideas? The first two psukim and the next six or seven. What is the difference between the two ideas? Alright? You see? Psukim, after the first three, actually first four, from the Vayla Mishkanaisav, all talks about Beis Mikdash. It's all Mikdash. Yishtachval Adayim Raglov. Adayim Raglov is the Mikdash. See? Then Boyusha Orov Besaida Chatse Race of Basila's the Migdish. Remishana Shalva Dun Raglov again. Shtahal Hakacha again. Shtahal Shem Mahadras Kadesh means Migdash. And after Rev Khasla Novoy Vesecha, Nishtahal Kutchabir Secha is all Migdash. And Tahal Kutchabinel Shmechal Chasma Techa, all Migdash. Alright? Then it's different. Chunran Allah Hashem, the real Tsuy Shenu, starts different again. Okay. Now, why is that so? What is Mikdash? What really is Mikdash? What is Mikdash? Hashemayim kisi v'oretz hadoim ragloi. Hadoim ragloi is a reference to Mikdash. Remo Hashem l'kenesh tachvullah hadoim raglov. That means Mikdash. But the pasuk says, Hashemayim kisi v'oretz hadoim ragloi. Eze bayis tivnevli. So what is the pshat? What does the pasuk mean? The pasuk is expressing a problem over here, a phenomena. How could it be? Hashemayim kisivor etzadim ragloi eizet bayis tivneli eizet makom enuchasi. So what is it? Sakam remu Hashem lekenu shtachla adim raglov. What does adim raglov mean in English? So what is it? What's the difficulty? What is the idea that the pasuk is expressing? Migdash is an absurdity. Really, there's a piyut on Tisha B'Av. One of the piyutim on Tisha B'Av talks about the different base of Migdash. Different base of Migdash that there were. You know what the first base of Migdash was? Adam Rishon had a base of Migdash. The Medrash says it was the world.